Start over.
Yo ho, yo ho, it's Pirate Life Radio. So grab a beer and sing our cheer for the ocean's best variety show.
Yo ho, yo ho, it's Pirate Life Radio. So hoist your sails and swing your rails. It's time for Pirate Life Radio.
Felt all right.
Yo ho ho, boils and ghouls, and welcome to the Halloween edition Pirate Life Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Dahmer.
And I'm Eddie Gein.
And we'd like to welcome you to another episode. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Who's been tuning in the past and are continuing to tune in. What do we got on the docket today?
Well, today's a very special episode of Pirate Life Radio. I know they're all very special, but today is extra very special. We've got some specters and ghosts in the studio that are going to be adding to the Halloweeniness.
Some co-hosts, yeah.
Some spooky co-hosts. We also don't have any musical guests for you today, and today we're just going to keep it all about Halloween. We've got some stuff on the back burner that'll be coming soon, but it's kind of waiting on some
release dates
from artists that we want to work with, and we just want it to be a little bit closer to when stuff is being released, for smart promotional purposes and all that kind of thing. Also, Pirate Life Studios is going to be moving quite soon to a new, bigger, better location in the heart of Calgary's industrial Dover community. So that's something to look forward to. So this is kind of just a fluffer episode to keep y'all in the loop until we get our shit together.
And don't we all love getting fluffed?
That's right. So what do you say there, Mr. Dahmer? You think we should get into the bloody mix of this thing?
Yeah, we're going to play one of my all-time favorite Halloween songs right now. This one's actually a cover of a Misfits song, and it has the appropriate title of Halloween. It is by the band AFI, also known as Fire Inside.
Nobody ever calls them that.
Nobody ever calls them that, but that is their name. It was released on October 5th, 1999 through Nitro Records, and it was on the All Hallows EP. So get ready, because this one is going to make a mess out of your costume trousers.
With a couple of snow. I remember Halloween.
All right, so we're going to keep the momentum of things going. We're going to get right back into playing another track. This time we're going to play a song that is actually by the Misfits, not just a cover of one of their songs. We are going to play Dig Up Her Bones. That one is off of the 1997 album American Psycho. Just a little bit of history of the Misfits in case, you know, you're not aware. Basically, they're a band where Halloween is every fucking day, and
at least to their fans. Actually, even to them. Yeah. Halloween is all the time with the Misfits.
Halloween is not a day, it's a lifestyle for these guys. The original incarnation of that band was active from 1977 to 1983. They ended up getting into a bunch of legal battles between bassist Jerry Only, his brother, and guitarist Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein, which is pretty much the most Halloween name I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And, of course, singer-songwriter Glenn Danzig.
A.K.A. coolest dude on earth.
The result was a settlement in 95, which gave the remaining members of the Misfits rights to the name so that they could continue being the Misfits and not have to start from scratch without their singer. They formed a new incarnation of the band. They recruited singer Michael Graves and drummer Dr. Chud. And that lineup released American Psycho in 1997. Dig Up Her Bones was a seventh track, and we're going to play that for you right now.
Grab your shovels, boils and ghouls. Dig Up Her Bones! Dig Up Her Bones by the Misfits. And speaking of the Misfits, Josh, do you know of any other lead singers who punch their fans as much as Glenn Danzig does?
No, you know what? I can't think of any, and
Yeah, I'm having a struggle.
It's no surprise that they had to recruit Michael Graves because, well, Glenn Danzig's kind of a notorious ass kicker of his fans. So
it's probably hard to be a successful band if your lead singer is always punching your fans.
Oh.
But what do I know? Anyways, we're going to move on to the next track here. This next band that we're going to play is a band called Ghost. And if that doesn't speak enough to why they're on this episode, well then let me tell you a little bit more about them. They are comprised of nameless ghouls, and their lead singer looks like the Pope of black metal. They've got a really heavy, spooky sound, they're very theatrical, and their imagery just reeks of Halloween. This track that we're going to play for you is called From the Pinnacle to the Pit, off of their album that was released this year, Meliora. Here we go. This is Ghost.
Power.
So, Josh, have you ever heard of the Black Dahlia Murder?
Well, are you talking about the extreme American death metal band or the unsolved murder case?
Both, actually. So why don't we take a minute here to educate our fans on the murder that spawned the name for one of our favorite death metal bands this side of the Atlantic Ocean.
All right, a little bit of a ghost story for you guys.
All right, so the Black Dahlia Murder, the actual murder, was the nickname given to the case of Elizabeth Short about 70 years ago, who was found sliced in half in a park. And the person who came upon her body actually thought it was like a discarded store mannequin or something, because it was so mangled up and it didn't, like, really didn't look real. So anyway, she was found sliced in half, and the killer had given her a Glasgow grin, which is a slice from ear to smile to the other ear. And all of her blood was drained and her intestines were tucked under her ass. So this was a pretty fucking grisly scene. Now, since then, over 50 people have confessed to killing Elizabeth Short, but the case remains unsolved.
Ooh, spooky!
And now a little bit about the band that takes their name from this case. They've been kicking it since 2001, and they're from Michigan, down in the States. They've released 7 albums, all under Metal Blade Records. And we're going to play for you the song What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse from their 2007 album Nocturnal. Here it is, guys.
Woo!
Let's go!
Society shipmates. So that was the Black Dahlia Murder. We're now going to talk a little bit about some Halloween traditions. And obviously one of our favorite Halloween traditions is scary movies.
And killing dead hookers.
Well,
you can't kill a dead hooker.
No, you can't. You can do a lot of other fun stuff with them, though.
That's right.
But that's again, that's another podcast.
That's a very different podcast.
Yeah. What we do in our spare time is none of your business. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about our favorite horror movies and the reasons why we love them. Some of our traditions, what we do in October to get geared up for Halloween. So I don't know, Kyle, what do you usually do in October when it's Halloween? You want to get in the spirit of things?
Well, we usually do a scary movie night. Here at Pirate Life Studios, in the upstairs, though, where people actually live and we don't just get drunk and talk about music and stupid shit. What else? Eating shitty candy. I don't know who doesn't love eating shitty candy and chocolate bars, although it's a really good idea to wait until after Halloween to buy a whole bunch on sale.
Oh, everything goes on sale. It's the best.
I know our good friend Eric Kosh, that's a secret move of his, because that guy is a chocolate fucking fiend. The Simpsons, Treehouse of Horror. I don't think a Halloween goes by where I don't see at least one of those. I always want to see more, but there isn't always the time of the day. I think one of my favorite episodes from that, at least in terms of how scary it was for me when I was a kid, was actually the very first clip on the very first Treehouse of Horror, which was called Bad Dream House. And that one is actually, like, pretty creepy.
It's pretty dark, actually. Yeah. As far as Simpsons episodes go, it kind of rubbed me in a weird way when I saw that as a kid.
I remember watching that in the dark at, like, you know, midnight, 11 o'clock or midnight, whenever you'd find, like, Treehouse of Horror marathons on TV. And I definitely remember being creeped the fuck out. There was also the Shinnin was a good episode.
He's got the Shinnin.
And the one where Willy is Freddy.
Freddy Krueger. Yeah, that's right.
That was another good episode.
That was a Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace.
That's right. And then I think as far as funny shows go, South Park's Spooky Vision for their Halloween episode was really fucking hilarious. Oh, and also the fact that in their first Halloween episode, everybody dresses up as Chewbacca because that's the best costume you can get in town.
Which, obviously, to this day, the best costume you can get. So if you're dressing up as Chewbacca this year,
you're guaranteed to win.
You're guaranteed to win A, costume contests, and B, my respect. Absolutely. Which doesn't really count for a whole lot, but you know what?
One day it might. So, now, what about as far as, I know, Josh, you're a pretty big horror movie buff. What about, what are some of your favorite movies for the Halloween season?
I'm really big on Rob Zombie's House of 1,000 Corpses. That one is pretty messed up. That is a fucked up movie. It's not even scary as much as it is unsettling. Like, it just makes you feel weird. Yeah, which I kind of like that about it. And then, of course, the sequel, which was The Devil's Rejects, which actually kind of amps up the fucking scare factor. It's a bit more of, I guess, a slasher, almost, than your traditional, like, scary house, spooky situation. But that one is actually – I actually prefer that one to the first one. What else? Ernest Scared Stupid.
That's a scary movie.
I actually remember as a kid being fucking horrified of those trolls. Like, it was scary. I don't know.
I think I've never made it through that whole movie. I've been too freaked out, honestly. So props to you, Josh.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough one to get through. Obviously, the Evil Dead movies.
Oh, yeah.
All of those. The originals are pretty campy and almost funny, but also fucked up and twisted and everything that should be in a good horror movie. The remake was actually really well done. They took a bit more of like a serious stance on that one. It's not quite as campy as the originals, but still very well done and still very unsettling. So that one definitely is on my list.
I gotta ask you, Josh, have you ever seen Nosferatu?
No, I haven't. That's the vampire film, right?
That is the vampire film from way back in the day, and apparently there are some really freaky stories about the production of that movie, and I've always wanted to see it. And yeah, like, it was released in 1922, and there's a whole bunch. I'm trying to find some shit right now.
Yeah, no. As far as vampire movies go, obviously, I'm not talking about Twilight or anything like that.
Well, those are scary, but more for their effects on culture than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. But a really scary vampire movie is always John Carpenter's, or Carpenter's vampires.
I don't think I've ever
seen that. It came out in the 90s. That one's pretty good.
I heard it was good.
Or also, From Dusk Till Dawn, all of those.
That's a good movie.
Just shoot 'em up, fucking awesome vampire-killing movies. So, big on those. What else? Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't know, that's almost something I watch around Christmas, too.
It really is.
It's for either.
It's pretty much as soon as the leaves start turning color, you can get into that one.
So, yeah, that's a big one for me. It has been since I was a kid. I'm a huge Tim Burton fan, too. Anything that that guy's done is usually pretty Halloween-esque. I like to smoke a bit of the Halloween and watch his movies. If you're into that, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there's some pretty weird shit going on in those. Again, like Kyle said, the Treehouse of Horrors are pretty big. I've been watching those lately. I don't know, like, it's pretty much just whatever. I'm yet to find a movie that is, like,
truly
disturbing,
horrifying.
Like, to where I watch it and I'm like, I don't know if I should have watched that. I'm not talking like a snuff film of, you know, which, if you don't know, a snuff film is basically a film where people die for real, and they do exist, and people like to watch things like Faces of Death. That's not really my thing, but
yeah, you know, that's fucked.
That's a bit fucked. That's
for myself.
Yeah, for myself. Teach their own, but
I love good horror books are almost better to me than movies. I've always been a fan of Stephen King's work. I actually got nightmares reading Pet Sematary. I got nightmares reading that for sure, but I was like 10. So don't think I'm too much of a pussy. But I also admit to having nightmares while reading The Shining as a grown adult male. So take from that what you will.
Or even Edgar Allan Poe. Some of his stuff is kind of creepy.
That's kind of what he was known for.
Yeah.
The Telltale Heart.
Yeah. Definitely. That's the one where there's the heart beating under the floorboards.
Yeah, and there's actually, speaking of Simpsons, there's
they parodied that one.
I think it's a whole episode, though. It's not just a Treehouse of Horror.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Sweet. I'll check that out.
It's Lisa, and she's, like, cheating on her science experiment or something like that. It's been a while.
Fucking Lisa. Worst Simpsons character ever.
She can be, but she is
the voice of reason.
She is the voice of reason, and you know what? She's a lot better of a character to the Simpsons than Ross is to Friends.
Well, yeah.
Ross is definitely. Yeah. I actually won a horse head mask at a party once because I answered this question correctly. Who is the worst friend on Friends? And he said this is a subjective question, but I think anyone could answer objectively that is Ross. But anyways,
that's neither here nor there.
That is not really here or there in the spirit of our Halloween episode.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Yeah, so I guess we'll get the ball rolling again on some more Halloween-esque music. We're gonna play a song by a band that, again, treats every day almost like Halloween in that they wear costumes. And I'm talking about the Aquabats, who, if you don't know, are a band. They're almost like a ska punk band that they basically dress up like superheroes. And almost in the vein of, like, Gwar, they have battles with, like, giant costumed villains on stage. And, you know, they do all kinds of crazy theatrics, and they have, like, laser beams they shoot out of their guitars. If you haven't seen them, it's actually quite a spectacle. It's almost a complete opposite of what Gwar does. Instead of being offensive and, like, fucking sacrificing the Virgin Mary and shooting blood into the audience.
And killing Sarah Palin.
Or Justin Bieber, or anyone else that they think should die. The Aquabats, they don't swear, and they don't basically talk about drugs or alcohol or anything, because they are a band of Mormons.
Is that right?
That is right.
So how the fuck did Travis Barker ever end up in that band?
Well, because when you're that good at drums, even Mormons will bend their fucking beliefs.
That's,
so
that's fair.
So yeah, that is another quick tidbit there. Travis Barker of Blink 182, among other things, was their drummer way back in the day.
That's how he got his start.
That's actually how he ended up in Blink, because they toured together, yeah. So the song I'm going to play is called Fashion Zombies, and it is off their album Charge, which came out on June 7th of 2005. And it's not so much actually about anything Halloween. It's more kind of like a read between the lines, but it draws some interesting parallels between, like, mall goth type people and their fashion sense, and I don't know, it's just a really interesting song. It's fun. They're a band that, again, is bringing Halloween to you every day of the year.
365 days a year.
So here we go. This is Fashion Zombies by the Aquabats.
Since you arrived here. Those of you familiar with the Tokyo subway attacks will know its devastating effects on the human body. The only way to overcome it and walk out that door is to find an antidote. Several are hidden around this house. One is inside the safe in front of you. You all possess the combination to the safe. Thank God, the numbers are in the back of your mind. The clue to their order can be found over the rainbow. Once you realize what you all have in common, you will gain a better understanding of why you're here. X marks the spot for that clue, so look carefully. Let the game begin.
Alright guys, we're just going to sidestep the Halloween stuff for a minute here because I'm going to self-promote a show that I'm playing with the band that I'm in. I play in a band called Bad Animal, in case you didn't know. And on November 12th, we are playing at one of my favorite bars in this city, if not my favorite bar in the city. We're playing a free show at the Ship and Anchor, which is downtown on 17th Ave. I think it's between 5th and 6th Street.
Right across from the Shell on 17th. I mean, if you live in Calgary, you know where the Ship is.
You do.
If you're listening to this podcast, you know where the Ship is.
I think so. Anyways, it's a free show. We're playing with headliners The Motor League as well as The Dying Arts, and both of those guys have just released some awesome new music that they're touring in support of, and we get to open for those guys. Like I said, free show. It's going to be fucking awesome times down at the Ship because it usually is. A good night of rock and roll and good tunes and good beers. So I'm going to play for you guys one of the songs off the album that Bad Animal will be releasing. Hopefully sometime soon. We've just got the mastered copies of our songs now. It's just the rest of the work that needs to go into releasing an album. So here is Thief of Thieves by Bad Animal.
And I've said it once, and I'll say it again. You guys should change your name to Rad Animal, because I think it's just more of a fitting name. So here we go. So now we're going to do a little segment I like to call Obscene Art, and we're going to talk about some of the more obscene album covers that are out there. In the spirit of Halloween, there's definitely some grotesque and some just really weird album covers that have been put out. So I've assembled a list of my top five. They're on this list because They're offensive. They're grotesque sometimes. And that's pretty much like a horror movie.
To me, that's also the makings of a good list.
That's the makings of any good list.
If the criteria for your list involves grotesque, offensive, and controversial,
then you know you'll find it on Pirate Life Radio. So here we go.
Number five.
Number five is Family Man by Black Flag. Everyone knows, or hopefully knows, of the American hardcore punk band Black Flag. They put out an album in 1984. It was a bit of an unusual album in that one side featured spoken word tracks by their then vocalist Henry Rollins, and the other side was basically just instrumentals. So a little bit different than obviously the rest of the content that band had put out up to that point. The reason it's on the list is because the cover of Family Man is a depiction of a man with a gun pressed up to his temple. You can see his family members with various bullet wounds lying upon the floor. It looks like his daughter is not quite dead, but clutching her arm.
Looks like she's got a bullet hole in her eyeball.
Yeah, she's definitely been shot. There's a teddy bear next to her. It's pretty fucked up.
What a punk rock spin that on the term
is
Family Man.
Super punk rock. That one was actually, I believe the artwork was done by, Raymond Pettibone, who did all of the Black Flag imagery. He's responsible for the four bars logo that every good punk rocker worth his salt has tattooed on their body.
I don't think you can play power chords until you get that tattoo.
No,
at least not effectively.
You definitely can't. So that's coming in at number five. We'll probably be posting these on our Facebook page, actually, so that you can actually see what they look like as a bit of a companion piece to this episode. So
that'd
be
great idea. Yeah.
So that's number five.
Family Man.
Number four.
So at number four, we have an album by one of my favorite Canadian bands. They're Living with Lions from Vancouver, BC. They put out an album called Holy Shit, which ended up getting pretty big, not so much based on the quality of the songs, which are actually amazing, but based on the fact that the American media and the Canadian Heritage Minister were absolutely appalled by the album artwork. Basically, the album and the liner notes show depictions of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as a piece of actual human excrement. So, yeah, obviously some people were pretty offended by that.
They were also, if I'm not mistaken, because the album was recorded with
Factor money.
Which is taxpayer money, essentially, that is granted to Canadian artists to record music.
Right. So basically, Factor is the foundation assisting Canadian talent on recordings, which for bands that are in Canada, it's an amazing thing. Our government basically pays to produce art, and all you really have to do is apply for it, and if you meet the criteria, our government will help you fund an album. So that's really awesome. This particular album was recorded under Factor, and obviously some people were upset by it. The album was also subtitled The Pooh Testament. And so when they had originally released the album, It got recalled right away after the Canadian Heritage Minister saw what was going on, and he was not too fucking stoked. So they had to pull it off the shelves. I'm actually lucky in that I got the album the day that it came out. So I actually have an original copy that has the Factor logo on the back. So it's pretty funny to see this like mock Bible that says holy shit on the front and is, you know, has all these pictures of Jesus as a piece of poop on the inside. Which, I mean, if you got a sense of humor, it's pretty funny. So I have an original one with, it has our government seal of approval on the back, which is fucking priceless.
That's amazing. And what a punk rock thing to do.
Yeah.
Use the taxpayers' money to put out some album art that is totally, like, jokingly sacrilegious and just pissing people off. Like, that's
yeah, that's pretty punk rock.
I think so. And
you know what? It actually did a lot of good for them because it, all of a sudden, you have all these people in Parliament bringing this album out, and that was something that they addressed, and then it just blew up. So
no press is bad press.
No publicity is bad publicity is what they say. So I guess in this case, it helped them out. And if you've listened to the album, none of the songs have anything to do with slagging Christianity or anything like that. They're all your typical pop punk love songs and just songs about your bros and having a good time. So yeah, that's number four.
Number three.
All right, guys, at number three, we have an album by the punk band Gallows. This was their second release. This was Grey Britain. The cover artwork was not the part that was deemed too offensive, but actually the interior artwork, which was designed by their vocalist at the time, Frank Carter, who's an amazing tattoo artist, and so he had the skills, so he drew something up, and it was pretty offensive. There's policemen who appear as pigs or swine, if you will, giving each other hand jobs. There's some rape going on.
I feel like I'm looking at it right now, and I'm pretty sure I'm seeing a fist entering somebody's butthole.
Yep. You're definitely seeing that. There's a religious woman impaling herself. There's women servicing each other. And then there's vultures presiding over the scene, and a bunch of intestines. There's inverted crosses, a bunch of anti-religious imagery. Strangely enough, this album was put out on Warner Bros., which was a major label. Promptly following this release, Warner Bros. Dropped Gallows. Makes a lot of sense.
Did they put out the artwork?
They didn't actually get to put out the artwork on the original version. The copy I have, it's just actually, you see the borders of the photo, and then there's just a big black censor box over it. I mean, I feel like they could have replaced it with something else, but the limited edition, I think that came with like a DVD with a bunch of music videos, because I guess the release criteria is a bit different. With if as long as you have a DVD involved, you can put like an 18+ rating on it. So therefore, they were able to get away with putting that in there. So if you've been lucky enough to get the limited edition, you've seen it, and you know, it's, you know, a nice piece you might hang on the wall, and, you know, it really makes you think.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. So, that's number four, or three. I don't even know. Three.
Number two.
All right, guys, at number two, we have the aptly titled Cannibal Corpse album, Butchered at Birth. If the name doesn't give it away, the album cover is of a couple of zombie-looking fellows butchering a woman. They're performing some kind of abortion on her, pulling a zombie baby out of her, and then there's a bunch of dead babies hanging from hooks in the background. I think that pretty much says why it's on this list. I'd also like to just talk a little bit about some of the interesting song names on this album. They had such heavy hitters as Vomit the Soul, Rancid Amputation, and what's another good one? Oh, Meat Hook Sodomy. So
that's a really good song to play on a first date.
It is. You know, that's actually my grandma's favorite off this record.
I think it's everyone's grandma's favorite song.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you're going to get your grandma into Cannibal Corpse, you want to start with that song because it you know, it touches on a little bit of everything that they do.
It hits all the right notes.
Yeah. The album artwork was actually banned in Germany, obviously.
I'm surprised is that the only place that was banned?
And it also drew a complaint from the Ontario Provincial Police in Canada. A bunch of stores ended up not selling it to anyone younger than 18 years old, or not even selling it at all. Because the artwork was just deemed too crude.
It's
so
crude.
That one's at number two.
Butchered at Birth, everybody.
Number one.
All right, so coming in the first place spot, we have Dawn of the Black Hearts by the black metal band Mayhem. There's been a bunch of weird shit surrounding this band. There were rumors of like their bass player killing another member for like wearing white. Obviously, I don't think that's a real story, but that's like one of the rumors surrounding these guys. Anyway, in 1990, they decided to put out an album. They called it Dawn of the Black Hearts. And I can't really tell you too much about the album because I'm not really a Mayhem fan, but I do find their history very fascinating. At the time, their singer, with the appropriate name of Dead, decided to take his own life. He took a shotgun, put it to his head, and pulled the trigger. And when his bandmates found him, instead of, you know, doing what me or you or anyone else with half a brain would do, they would call the police. The members of Mayhem decided to run out, grab a Polaroid camera, and take pictures of the gruesome scene. Not only did they do that, but there's rumors that they took fragments of his skull that had been blown out by the shotgun, and they made some necklaces, some cool, I guess, black metal jewelry, and they also used the image from one of the photos that they took of the suicide scene, and they made that the cover artwork of Dawn of the Blackhearts. There was a huge controversy. I don't think any stores sold it. It was almost like a bootleg version of the album.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing here, is that it was a bootleg. So did they release it?
Yeah, they kind of released it on their own, and any major record store or any label was not about to put this out based on the content of the cover. So they did it on their own. You know, I gotta give them props for the DIY ethics, but yeah, that one's a bit fucking weird. So that's why that one's at the top of our list.
It's just a gruesome fucking photo.
I'm gonna tell you right now, this one might not end up on our Facebook because it is an actual image of someone that is blown their brains out, and you know, that goes against Facebook guidelines. So if that one ends up getting taken down, you know, you can find it on Google. There's a plethora of fucking places.
It's not hard to find.
It's not hard to find. Just search it up. Search the album name. You can see it for yourself. And yeah, that one takes the cake.
That concludes our list of fucking... What is this list even titled?
The obscene art list of the most obscene album covers that I've come across. I know there's definitely more obscene stuff out there, and definitely a lot more dark and twisted than just what we covered.
And actually, you should feel free to send us.
Yeah, that'd be great, actually. Submit some.
We'd love to cover some more stuff like this. We love learning stuff like this. There's so much crazy lore behind censorship and music and all that kind of thing. All crazy album artwork. So if you've got some artwork that is gnarlier than the ones that we're posting, drop us a line.
Yeah. And it, honestly, it doesn't even really have to be a gnarly picture, as long as there's some sort of
controversy
or story behind it, something that made that album stand out as obscene. So, there we go. That's our Halloween list. And, yeah, I think that actually just about wraps up this episode.
Yeah.
Pirate Life Radio, Halloween edition.
All right, folks, like Jeffy Dahmer over here said, that's all we've got for you today. Thanks for tuning in to our Halloween edition of Pirate Life Radio.
Yep, make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Pirate Life Radio on iTunes. Look for our logo. We're, I think, one of the first ones, so definitely click on that, subscribe. That will make sure that you're getting all of our content downloaded straight in your feed, so you won't miss a thing.
Which is very important.
Very important. Yeah, like we said, we've got some things on the back burner that we're working on. We're going to keep quiet about that, but, you know, you can expect some pretty awesome content coming from us in the future. And, yeah, we'd just like to wish you all a happy Halloween. Be safe.
Absolutely, and don't forget about the free show that Bad Animal is playing with Motor League and the Dying Arts. Was it the Dying Arts?
It was the Dying Arts.
That's right, the Motor League and the Dying Arts. November 12th, free show at the Ship and Anchor. Come on down. Other than that, have a happy and safe Halloween, guys. Keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky.
Woo!
And we'll see you next time, guys.
Woo!